Hi there. So I thought today I would come on and just do a little sort of pre-talk about cycles and menstruation cycles. Next week, I've got Danielle Rickwood coming to give us an expanded version of this. So today it's a bit of a sort of a prequel where I thought I would give a bit of information on what we can expect throughout a menstrual cycle as far as hormone fluctuations go and as far as our energy levels go, because it is really quite extraordinary as women how we can feel quite energized and quite good one day and then literally the next day feel absolutely shattered and almost not be able to get out of bed. And there's a reason behind that. It's not just you. So I thought I would talk a little bit about the power of the cycle today and how we can just become a little bit mindful of it. Of course, as we start to enter the perimenopause years, so these are the years prior to actually hitting menopause, the pause of menses, stopping your periods, because during these years, and for some people it's just a few months, other people it can be up to some 10 years or so, the hormones start to fluctuate and do crazy things as our ovaries give a last push to try and get us pregnant one last time before our ovaries kind of shut up shop for good. And it is strange to think that, you know, we are actually in this way completely different from men, and our energy isn't consistent. But the power of knowing about your cycles is that you can start to plan what you do roughly around your probable energy levels in different times of the month. So if we look at a lunar month, if we look at a month and we kind of layer on the lunar cycle, that can give us a little bit of a pattern. If you think about when you actually have a period as the beginning of your cycle, at this point, what's happening is that we're in this kind of autumnal, wintry energy. And this is when our energy levels is really plummeting down because we've got our estrogen is very, very low. Our progesterone is also pretty low. And our testosterone is also pretty low. So when we're in these days of our cycle, it's really worth replenishing your energy. So doing things that will fill up the tank, welcome stillness. So being very gentle with yourself, maybe doing yoga, stretching, meditation, walking in nature is a lovely thing to do just to fill up the vessel. Listening to podcasts, sort of releasing stress in a way that is very, very gentle, as opposed to trying to push yourself and go for a run or maybe a HIIT class, etc. At this point, this is where we can really tap into our inner guidance. It's a lovely time to sleep more, maybe take some naps, and really kind of withdraw from the world and be okay with that. Of course, we can push through, but we only have a very limited amount of testosterone. And when we do push through, this is when we can very easily start to rev the adrenals and produce cortisol, which robs our ability to also produce hormones. So it's really worth giving permission to yourself to drop into more stillness, or at least understand why you're tired during this stage. It is your hormones. But the kind of exciting thing is after we come out of the first few days of the period, we go into a real surge in our hormones and we get a spring-like energy. And at this stage, this kind of week or so after your period, that is the perfect time to start to do all the admin tasks that you haven't been able to do in the prior week, you'll find that you can just sort of get things done quickly and sharply. Your brain feels a lot sharper because we've had a bit of a surge in testosterone here. So we're starting to slowly increase the estrogen. The progesterone, which is our kind of calming, chill-out hormone, is still pretty low. And, testosterone is starting to rise again. So this is where we want to be doing our kind of action plans, where we want to begin projects. So starting a health kick or starting, a new exercise plan, this is the time to do it in your cycle, just after your period. This is a great time to sort of prioritize your tasks, just get things done, maybe stretch your comfort zones a little bit, be a bit adventurous. You're quite sort of do at this point. Not necessarily that great with lots of people. This energy tends to be good for more independent work. And anything that you weren't able to do the prior week when you're in that winter phase of actually having your period, this is the time to get those tasks done. You can handle longer days. And we can sort of handle later nights as well at this stage. We can handle having less sleep when we're in the stage of our cycle. So this can be a very good time, like I said, just to get things done. So putting in your diary that sort of week or so after your period to get lots of projects finished or at least started even at this stage. So we're not so good at this stage with empathy, with listening to other people. We're great at socializing, but more on a sort of superficial level. So we're not so good at working in teams. We sort of tend to plow ahead and, not so great at being a team player in this first week or so. And then we start to move slowly towards our ovulation. So towards the mid cycle where an egg potentially is released. This is obviously when we are still cycling regularly before we go into perimenopause. Because as we start to move into perimenopause, we do have cycles which are ovulatory, that's it. So we don't actually have an egg being released. So therefore, we don't also have the progesterone produced that we do when we ovulate. So this is really, really important as we go into perimenopause, because that drop in our production of progesterone can be a real signal or a real precursor to anxiety, sort of mood issues, low-level depression, even heart palpitations and things. So when we are still cycling, normally, though, we start to head in towards this ovulation. And then right before ovulation, the estrogen is really peaking. So this is when we're about to release the egg and it's really peaking. And this is the time where we're kind of flirty and we're feeling great. We've got a good amount of energy. We sort of want to, socialize with other people. We want to change the world. We're great at supporting other people at this stage. We're really great at expressing ourselves. This is a time to kind of refine maybe the new skills that you started in the prior week. It's a great time for love. It's a great time for connection, pleasure, obviously. And this is also when our empathy levels dial up. So a really good time to have sort of team meetings and times where you are having more deep and meaningful conversations with other people. It's a real sort of expressive summer time of our cycle. So really kind of the nice bit. This is where the testosterone peaks, and testosterone is where our mind is quite sharp, and obviously that's where our libido is really pumped up in this mid cycle. And obviously, this is because evolution wants us to get pregnant at this stage. However, if we don't get pregnant, then everything just sort of drops down again slowly over this next couple of weeks as we head back towards the menstruation again. And so we sort of come slowly into more of an autumnal phase. And this is when we start to transition back into that folding inward. So we've sort of come from being internal, we've gone boom out, and energy peaking, and then energy going into more of a lover kind of summer. You can just imagine, the long summer evenings and out enjoying, being flirty and all that kind of thing. And then it's just starting to be more of the late summer, that kind of warm evenings phase of the cycle, where things are starting to just slow down. And actually, this is often the time when people want to declutter, get a little aware of the mess in the house and things, and feel like they just need to sort of sort things out. It's also a really good time to take power naps. So just kind of topping up your sleep. It's important to have healthy boundaries now and start to be a little bit more aware of self-care and knowing that we are heading back towards menstruation and going back into really needing to replenish the energy. It's a really good time for creativity, for brainstorming. So very creative at this stage. It's a good time for releasing old patterns. So letting go of habits that haven't served you, this is a really good time to do that. You have the energy still and the clarity of mind still to let go of old patterns. It's a good time to start to put into some pampering practices. So hormonally, we're sort of starting now to feel that estrogen climbing again. It's not as high. It has sort of started to climb a little bit more though. Testosterone is just mid-range. This is kind of the mid part of our cycle. And progesterone, which is the kind of chill out hormone, that is starting to climb. So it's a nice bit of the cycle. Then we start to head into that, for some people, that premenstrual stage where, we can tip a little bit into drama queen. It can be a little bit difficult, especially if we're quite hormone sensitive. So this is kind of when the progesterone starts to plummet down again, right before we have our next period. And we also have our estrogen dropping down. And unfortunately, testosterone has also started to drop down as well. So we're starting to lose those hormones relatively rapidly during this period. And we find that during this period, we don't have so much capacity for other people's bullshit. So we tend to be a lot less able to compromise during this phase. We like structure. So this is when you might go, oh my goodness, the kitchen just needs tidying up and there's drawers. How have they got so messy? And you just want to get things sorted out. You need to declutter. If you realize friendships and things are toxic, this is the time where you might not do anything about it at this stage, but you might think, do you know what? That's not doing me any good, that relationship, or this work situation isn't doing me any good. So we're very decisive at this point, really very decisive. So it's quite good to actually schedule in then times of planning where you can make decisions that are quite difficult, where you can sort of work out problems and things like that. But, you can sort of make a decision that you are going to sort something around this issue that has been maybe bothering you for a while. It's a time to get rid of things on your plate, to delegate, so that when you then enter your menses again, you can just take time to replenish. So anything you haven't got done during the month that you is still on your plate, this is the time to delegate it to other people. It's a time to, well, if you're going to have sex, if you're going to, sex is great actually at this stage because it just helps diffuse things. The orgasm will create the endorphins that can just make you feel a lot better. And actually at this time, doing anything that helps you create those endorphins is good. So that is, you know, sex, deep relaxation practices that creates endorphins. Movement, not hardcore exercise, but just movement which brings you joy, like walking in nature, yoga, and it can be slightly stronger stuff, but stuff that fills you with endorphins. So massage and stuff, really nice at this stage, just to create those endorphins. Any kind of touch is just wonderful. And laughter. Like if you can just watch a funny movie or something that just makes you laugh, that creates endorphins and really nice to have that little injection at the stage when all the hormones are a little bit low. And then, of course, we go back into having another period. And this can last, for some people a couple of days and other people up to a week. And again, it's a time that if you can avoid pushing through, it's really great if you can. All of us have got the capacity to override our hormone fluctuations through the month and, sort of use that cortisol and push through and get things done. It's just that it's a lot more depleting at this point because we just don't have the testosterone to enable us to keep pushing through. So when we don't honor these different fluctuations of our hormones through the month, what can happen is we will then rev through the small amounts of testosterone we do have compared to men. We do produce a lot more testosterone than estrogen even, but we will burn through that more quickly. And then what happens is we tend to go in, our adrenals will go into cortisol production to keep us going. And when our adrenals produce cortisol, that means they will not be producing hormones. They also, the adrenals will also produce hormones, and they won't be able to do that. And so a thing called pregnenolone steal. And that's when we can lead to burnout. So it's not a long-term strategy that really works. So it's just interesting to note there are these four, almost like the seasons, these four kind of phases through the month. And just by noticing where you are in your cycle can really help with planning your diary and also just giving yourself a bit of a break. If you notice that, one day you're full of energy, you're ready to party, it might be that it's just that day or two before your period, and then you've ovulated, and then the estrogen just plummets after that before it levels out again. Next couple of days, you might feel absolutely dreadful, really exhausted and tired. And just knowing this is what's happening can be great because it just gives you, you give yourself a bit of a break, basically. You don't beat yourself up so much about feeling like you just can't get out of bed. And you know that in another couple of days, that estrogen's going to have come up a little bit, your progesterone, it will be, evening out a little bit, and you're just going to feel a bit better, a bit more even. So just sort of starting to track what happens in your cycle. And we are, of course, all different. Like not all of us will ovulate on day 14. And like I said before, as we start to come into perimenopause, we're going to start to have some cycles where we don't actually ovulate. The egg won't leave the
the egg won't go down the fallopian tube. We're not going to have that ovulation. We're not then going to have the it's called the corpus. What's it called? The corpus luteal. Corpus luteum. I can never remember that. Corpus luteum, which is when your egg has left the ovary, the space that's left behind, that is what fills up with progesterone. That's how we create our progesterone. So just by understanding that we do have these changes in our hormones throughout the cycle will help us just to be a little bit kinder to ourselves. So what I've been doing over the last about a year or so is I just have an A5 diary beside, just a normal diary like that, beside my bed. And then what I do is I just kind of every normally evening, sometimes morning, I just jot down what my energy is like out of, you know, 1 to 10. So I just jot down what my energy for that particular day is like. And then also I write down any symptoms that I'm feeling. So if the boobs are feeling tender, or if I've got, you know, really tight muscles, or if I'm feeling particularly fatigued, I'll write that down. So I'll write down my energy level, but I'll also write down the kind of things that I have energy for. So you might in your, I was talking about just after your period, when you go into that first week or so, you might have lots of energy, but it's for things that are still quite isolated, potentially, not necessarily wanting to go out to party. So it's just interesting to note that down. And then you might, you know, at another stage, be going, I do feel like chatting on the phone. I do feel like doing, potentially a podcast or something like that, and just writing that down. So you can start to track what your cycle is like. So I have found that really helpful. And then also just to be able to look back at when I do have cycles, as we start to come into perimenopause, the progesterone, our natural production of progesterone, because we are no longer having ovulation every month, our natural levels of progesterone start to drop down. And then as we have more and more cycles, we're not actually ovulating. We might still be having periods, but they might be becoming a little bit further apart potentially. Normally what happens is they come a bit closer together, a tiny bit closer together, and then a little bit further apart. And we might find that as the progesterone starts to drop down, we start to get more symptoms. And that's because the estrogen might not have started to drop too much yet, but the progesterone is, because we're not having these, we're not ovulating during our cycles. We still get the periods, but just not the ovulation. So progesterone is dropping. And then our estrogen, before it starts to drop, it actually starts to fluctuate first. And the reason being is because the ovaries are just kind of trying to push out those eggs. So we have these bigger fluctuations in the estrogen. And it's the differential between the estrogen and the progesterone that causes a lot of the symptoms that we might experience in perimenopause. So it's really interesting. It's not always timing-wise a change in our periods that signal when perimenopause is starting. So we can start to have these cycles where we don't ovulate, so we're not producing progesterone, and that can have a huge impact on our mood, on vaginal dryness, that's a big one, often digestive issues, because progesterone really influences the smooth lining of the gut. And so we can have these cycles which, you know, if we went to the doctor and said, "Oh, no, those things are not feeling right," and they say, "Well, your cycle's regular," you're like, "Oh, you know, I'm still having periods, and yeah, they're roughly about a month apart, yes." But actually, you are probably going into those perimenopausal years, and it takes several years normally for things to start to slow down. It's not like it happens overnight for most people. So we get to this point where we are our ovaries don't produce eggs anymore. And that really is when we're in perimenopause. That's when we're in menopause. But up until that point where they don't produce any eggs, we're still in perimenopause. So what else do I want to say about that? You'll find that eventually you do start to, and it's normally about 2 years before you go into actual menopause, that your periods do start to change in not just duration, but where they are in the month. So you might find that, yes, your cycle is longer 1 month, or it might be 6 weeks or so, and then suddenly you have a period 2 weeks after you've just had another prior period. And periods tend to become scantier as you get closer to menopause, but often women will talk about having a sudden, really heavy bleed. So there isn't really any, you know, one plan for everybody. Everyone seems to be quite different with this. And that's why I find it so helpful to be tracking things in a diary. So, because otherwise you just forget. And so it's really quite helpful to look and go, oh, no, I did have a period, you know, about a month ago, or crikey, it was only 3 weeks ago, or, oh, you know, it's been a bit longer there. And then just noticing what your energy levels are like. And it's not like, once you're in perimenopause, there is any real pattern. I mean, this is the discombobulating bit of it. However, it just gives you a little sense of control, if you like, to be tracking what's going on with your energy. And I find it just ups the self-care. It just makes me really enjoy those days where I have got energy and things, and very mindful of not pushing through at least too much when I don't have energy. And when I have real crashes in energy, which I've had more and more and more the closer I'm getting to actual menopause, I can almost feel like sometimes during the beginning of the day I feel absolutely fine, and I can almost feel it happens, you know, often a couple of times a month, where I just feel by the afternoon this crash, and I know it's the estrogen is just dropping right down. So it's just interesting. And I know on those days, that's when also pelvic floor, when the estrogen drops, the pelvic area becomes a lot less elastic. So often our organs feel heavier. If you've got prolapse, it's likely to feel a lot heavier. This is not the time to go and start doing a HIIT class or something where there's a lot more intra-abdominal pressure going down. So just things like that, self-care as far as your pelvic health goes, it can be useful just to be able to say, there's a reason why this is happening. It's probably my hormones have dropped down. It's not like it's going to be like this forever, but I'll just take a little bit more care. Maybe I'll put my legs up the wall, pelvis on top of a pillow, just to relieve pelvic pressure during this time. And knowing that, you know, after my period, when my hormones are going back up again, I feel energized, then I'll have more estrogen around the pelvis. That's the time to be doing the exercise, which is it does have a little bit more intra-abdominal pressure going down, and you can sustain it a lot more easily. So I hope that that's been helpful, just to give a very general overview of what happens, you know, during our menstrual cycle as far as energy goes, and then the fact that once we're in perimenopause, things are going to be erratic for a while. And so it really is a good idea just to track. The other thing I was going to say is there's an app called the Balance app, Balance, and that's been put together for women, and especially in perimenopause, to track their symptoms as well as what's going on with periods or lack of periods. So that can be really helpful if you're more of an app person than a pen and paper person. And then, of course, we go into menopause, and it's so interesting to talk to women who have gone past menopause, so they are no longer having periods at all. It's been a good 12 months since their last period, but how there energetically does seem to still be hormonal shifts or energy shifts through a period of about four, sometimes more like 6 weeks, And quite often this seems to start to be influenced by the phases of the moon. So most women do talk about energetic fluctuations through the month, which is quite similar, obviously not as exact as when we are ovulating and menstruating as we were up until perimenopause, but not that dissimilar. It just seems to be less extreme, but there are still energy fluctuations. So again, just useful to be making a note of what's going on with your cycle, because it's so empowering to know that, if you're looking at the diary, to plan ahead and think, that's not such a good idea to plan a party around that stage. I'm probably going to be having my period about there. However, the week after is probably going to be a great time to do it. So I hope that has been helpful. I'm just going to see if there's any questions that have come in, see if anybody wants anything answered. No. Okay, so next week I've got Danielle Rickwood, who is called the Abdominal Therapist. She is an amazing woman. She was one of the very first people to go and study man abdominal therapy, so the Ayurvedic abdominal therapy technique in South America with the person who started the whole abdominal massage technique back in the 60s. And so Danielle has done extensive training with her, and she's also done a lot of other different modalities. She's also just an incredible masseuse, and her specialty is in periods and in everything basically within the digestive system and within the pelvis, with all your organs and making sure everything's in its right place and is feeling happy. So unfortunately she couldn't join me today, but she's definitely coming next week, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with her and just being able to answer some more questions around our cycles and how we can really look after ourselves as women, especially in the 21st century with so much going on in our lives. So on that note, thank you so much, and I will see you and talk to you soon. Bye all.